This is welcome back to another episode. Let's Be Real podcast. Yeah, what more can you say? You know, the result was what was important. The scoreline was a bit flattering, but we'll get into it. We'll have games like this from now until the end of the season. We knew what we were getting with supporting Madrid. You know, growing up, you know, we just get the job done. Although that wasn't exactly the case, you know, while me and Mo were growing up, we had a bit more, you know, flair to our game. But big up the chat, big up everyone who supported Doris in the watch along as well. It takes a lot to, you know, sit through the game, especially a game like that. It wasn't as bad as Leipzig, but still, you know, big up Doris for crowd control, especially. She'll be doing this consistently for the rest of the season. So yeah, watch out for her. Watch alongs, man. But yeah, big up our partners Manscaped. You know the drill. LBI20 to get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com. They're the pioneers of below the waist grooming, but they have a whole catalog of products ranging from deodorants, loungewear, you name it. This is the perfect excuse to give something back to the pod. You guys have been asking for years. Is there a way to, you know, send some love to you guys? So here it is. And yeah, LBI20 is your golden key. All right, talk to me, Mo. How's the vibe? How was your weekend to start off?
And before I start off, I want to make sure my mic is working because we had a big boo-ha-ha when we did the big three thing. So I just want to make sure everybody, you know, you can
hear perfect. Me. It's perfect. Right. It's perfect. Yeah. The chat let Mo know if there's any, you know, hiccups.
Yeah, I think the chat...
I don't like him being so insecure, you know, quote unquote. But go on.
I think the chat especially knows my mic and sometimes, you know, do funny stuff. So I just want to make sure everybody can hear me. But yeah, man, overall, weekend, talking about the weekend, I mean, I had a pretty relaxing weekend, I guess. Like, overall, had some plans, could not achieve them. So here we are today watching Real Madrid play against Celta Vigo. And I guess the game was, like you said, a little bit disappointing in the first half. Like, towards the end, it kind of heated up and it got better. Overall, I mean, you go away happy, especially when, you know, Arda Güler scores a goal. This is the moment that we've been waiting for since, like me, I have been waiting for since July. So, you know, overall, I'm pretty happy and go away, I guess, with satisfied feelings. You know, 4-0, Arda Güler scores, what more can you ask for?
That's it. Arda Güler's goal is the only takeaway, only main takeaway you can have.
I mean, I definitely do have the takeaways, but yeah, like for the positive things, yeah, for me, Arda Güler scoring is something I really wanted to see, so I'm happy that it happened.
Right. I think your video just lagged for a second, but I have your back. That's what is important.
I think for my end, you're kind of like closing and going.
Right. Now? Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay. So I think it was something on my end. But yeah, man, I have the same feelings. Honestly, if the last couple of goals, I mean, the third goal is insignificant. You know, it wasn't really our doing per se.
Yeah, you're back.
Okay. Like you said, Arda scoring, you know, makes the world of difference for me. My mood and, you know, how I kind of reflect back upon this game. But where do you really, you know, begin to kind of break down the game? The first half was, like I always say, you know, like for the past 3 or 4 weeks, we have been very pedestrian the way we attack. We don't really have a cutting edge to, you know, what we do. Yes, there is intent, you know, which wasn't there against Leipzig. You know, whoa, that's a W, some might say, but not for me. You know, we should have the intent from the get-go against any sides. If you guys had the pleasure of watching some of the fan cams, you know, from post Leipzig, you know, people right after watching the game, you know, people who watched the game inside the stadium felt the same thing, right? Like, we just lacked that initiative. Today we lack that initiative in a different sense, where shots were taken from poor angles or shots were taken with less conviction than someone who's gardening. You know, someone who's basically looking to plow a plot of grass. I'm telling you, it was just routine stuff people were, you know, attempting at, especially guys like Rodrigo, Brahim, even guys who I expect to pull some superb moves, you know, out of thin air, and you know, try to you know, force the issue. It wasn't happening. Maybe it was because they knew Celta, they're gonna give us chance after chance, which was the case. We had like, I don't know, 15-16 shots throughout the game, but how many of them were actually of high XG? You know, I'm not an XG guy, but how many of them were, you know, high quality chances? That was my main gripe. But yeah, there were a good few shining lights. You know, let's start with the positives at least. Kamavinga Mo.
No, I mean, again, I think before we go to the positives, I'd just like to kind of chime in into what you were saying about the chance creation. For me personally, I felt that what Celta did well was the fact that they closed down the vertical space for Amtrid, you know. They 100%. Totally compressed us and confined us to the midfield area, and they, like, their defenders pushed up, and there was actually no space to play in between the lines. So for me, Amtrid were, like, hurt because of that. And, you know, there's also this theme that Ramirez has been going through, especially without Jude Bellingham this season, is the fact that when he's in there, there isn't anybody who's occupying the central areas, you know, somebody who can play in behind and all of those things that you expect from an attacking midfielder. I think towards the start of the season, I kind of said that, you know, Jude Bellingham was struggling to do those attacking midfielder things and Brahim was doing them well. But now I think the script has been flipped. Jude Bellingham is truly showing his quality, and Brahim, I think, after the way he started the season, he hasn't really kept that up, you know, especially in games he started. And I think it wouldn't be too scandalous to say that Brahim hasn't been his best version.
Sorry to interrupt you. Like, on that point, let me just add something. Is it scandalous to say that that's down to coaching? If different players at different phases of the same season is doing the, you know, exact...
I mean, I don't really know what's going on in the coaching, but for me, tactically, I think Rafa Benitez prepared well today, you know. Given the fact that they totally compressed the space and left no space for us to play. But then I think Ancelotti and Ramirez kind of adapted well, because, you know, at the start of the game, Rodrigo and Vini were pretty wide and Brahim was a central guy. But, like, as the game went on, especially in the first half, towards the end of the first half, Rodrigo and Vini started to be narrower, and Brahim started drifting out wide to the left. So, I mean, they made some changes, they reacted to it, and I think they did well. But overall, when you come to it, I think you're mentioning Brahim struggling, Rodrigo struggling, and all those things. And could it be due to coaching issues? I mean, I'm not sure. Personally, it could be. But for me, honestly, I think that I said it at the start of the season. Yeah, Brahim is somebody who struggles to keep his form throughout the season. You know, he struggles to maintain the same levels that he shows, like, from one game to the other. So I mean, I'm not really surprised that his form has sort of leveled off. But the thing is, like, he hasn't been really helped when, you know, Rodrigo and when he plays with them. Because I think he kind of likes playing off of somebody who can occupy the central areas. When Joselu came on, I felt that Brahim's performance has improved in the game, you know, especially in the second half. So, yeah, I can't really put it down to him being bad or, you know, him not being capable. Yeah. I just think that there's a system issue. And when Joselu came on, suddenly the vertical space also improved for us, you know, because having a striker or somebody who can pin the opponent.
So that's my question, Mo, right? Like, having Rodrigo and Vinicius, yes, on paper, they should be, you know, the best 11 we put up. Right?
I mean, Rodrigo and Vinicius do well when you're playing with Bellingham, but I think without a central presence, somebody who can make those runs in behind, I think they struggle a little bit, especially because this season, I think Rodrigo has been totally been asked to play on the right, by Ancelotti. Yeah. So when you're suddenly changing it and asking him to play within, like, weeks, you know, go and play centrally, I think it doesn't just work out. So for me, I can't understand why Rodrigo playing centrally hasn't given us the best results. But for overall, I think this game especially, Ancelotti should have gone with Joselu as the starter instead of Brahim. Because, you know, Joselu can do that. He can pin defenders in the opponent's box and, you know, create some space for the midfielders to do their job. And Rodrigo and Vinicius would have, like, enjoyed, you know, playing in the spaces that a striker creates. And I think in the 21-22 season, me and Farouk used to have these discussions a lot, especially about Manchester City. You know, I used to say that City don't really have a striker, so they struggle with that. And Farouk sometimes felt that, you know, we could have Rodrigo playing in those areas, in those central areas, and that would work for us. But I was, like, not a big fan of it. And I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, whenever we play with a striker right now, we do play better, especially with Joselu. And I mean, Bellingham kind of negates, like, you know, sometimes he covers it up, but Bellingham is a player of a different quality. You don't really see that with Brahim. So for me, I think Ramirez definitely need to sign a striker, you know, next season. Maybe Mbappe comes, maybe Haaland comes, maybe somebody else comes, you know, without going too much into the names. But I think Ramirez definitely do need that, because in games like these, we definitely need a presence in the central areas.
In my opinion, every game we need a central presence.
Yeah,
like, you know, I mean, just Jude Bellingham is not enough. Like, yes, that was a, you know, basically plug in the gap for a second, especially early season when the pressure wasn't really in and players were playing with a bit, you know, a bit more intensity and a lot more stamina left in their gas tank. They were really, you know, because let's be honest, this formation requires a lot of running, a lot of hard yards. You know, you can't really rely on the shape to, you know, bail you out in this formation, especially the forwards.
And I also think another important aspect of the way we are playing right now, you know, even like ignoring the formations, is the fact that we rely a lot on combination plays. But when this particular lineup plays, you know, Brahim, Rodrigo, Vinicius, I sometimes feel that every time in every play, you sometimes feel a man short, you know. Nobody is coming up for, like, this especially needs somebody running in from the midfield and combining with, you know, when Vinicius and Rodrigo combine, you know, the third player, and I think Brahim sometimes falls short on that. So, while Bellingham kind of does it, and Bellingham seems to have a good understanding with Vinicius, you know, as the season has gone on, he has kind of developed that understanding. So for me, somehow, for some reason, we always seem to be lacking in the central area, especially, you know, ever since Bellingham got injured. So I think that is an area where we definitely need to improve. And, you know, whoever Ramirez chooses to be the striker next season, you know, if they do go ahead and sign a player, then it has to be somebody who's, like, comfortable combining with Vinicius and Rodrigo, you know, because combination play is the way Ramirez are going to play in the future. I mean, that's pretty set, you know. You cannot go back from that, because this particular team, the whole spine, you know, the how to get the best out of Bellingham, how to get the best out of Vinicius, you know, all the other players. So combination around the box are the ways to go. That is how you open up defenses, especially defenses who, you know, sit back, defend deep. You kind of need them. And even teams like what Celta were doing today, you know, teams that close down the vertical space and not allow you to play up, you know, in between the lines. So I think that is the way to go. And Ramirez, whoever they sign, has to be somebody who is, like, you know, comfortable playing that style of football.
That was very evident, you know, by the way, how Vasquez, you know, like, basically had to be our, you know, biggest outlet down the right. You know, him combining with Brahim, him combining with Rodrigo, combining with Fede was how we basically got our, you know, best striker chances, you know, especially in the first half.
And I mean, even Joselu, when he comes on, you know, we kind of give we kind of, like, try to, I mean, personally, like, I think I do it. We kind of, you know, try to put Joselu in a hole where you think that, you know, he's a box presence. So cross the ball into him and he's going to score. But even that, without it, I think the coaching team seems to have worked a lot with him, you know, in his combinations. Because I've seen this many times in the season, you know, I sometimes feel, oh man, this guy's job is to be in the box, but he's not being there. Because he's trying to combine, you know, he's trying to blend himself into that style of play. And I kind of, you know, appreciate Joselu for that. And I kind of appreciate the whole the coaching team and everything behind it, you know, because they're trying to fit the players that they have, and I think we need to praise them for this.
I'll praise them for this when, you know, we have a string of games where we start with intent and, you know, basically finish off the teams by halftime. That's what we need, especially at least in La Liga at home. We need that kind of a blitz mode to stand a chance in the Champions League. Let's be honest. Yes, we can scrape
two games. That is difficult to say, because we don't really have a proven top, you know. In the attack, we don't have a player who's going to be, like, the first goal scorer. I mean, Vinicius, I mean, he's good, but I kind of feel like he can be a secondary goal scorer. But he's never going to be a primary goal scorer. He needs somebody alongside him, like somebody, like, you know, before that there was Benzema. When Benzema was there, Vinicius had his best season. So, you know, whenever Benzema was playing, Vinicius was like, Vinicius was highlighted. He even became even better. So for me, he kind of needs that kind of a player. So for me personally, I think Real Madrid definitely need a primary goal scorer. Because if you look at the goals this season, before this game, Real Madrid has scored, like, you know, we have scored around the same number of goals as Barcelona has. So, I mean, Barcelona has been struggling this season. So you definitely need a player, you know, of quality who can come in and score the goals. And I think in the summer, we definitely need to sign a player like that.
No, I get the grievances, man. Like, I'm not watching Real Madrid for the first time this season, right? Like, we all know how we have, you know, gone back and forth regarding the striker situation. Yes, it's something that is kind of out of the box to ask, basically, to, you know, produce goals out of nothing. But let's be honest, right? Like, what Faruk would say, City, you know, a couple of years ago, they used to play without a striker. Yes, completely different profile of players, a different system, a different kind of a manager who had a very set plan as to how to, you know, kind of approach games, basically. But what I would basically require
even then,
the
they
team
had a recognized striker, right? They had Gabriel Jesus. We don't have, like, for me personally, I think we are not even starting with a Gabriel Jesus kind of player.
Gabriel Jesus might not be
the best player, but he's still a profile. And what we're doing, we're starting with Brahim when Bellingham is injured. So, you know, there's a difference.
He's as good as a profile of a striker as what Brahim or Jude would do.
Man,
that
on.
Is it. Gabriel Jesus is good.
Jude, okay, I kind of get it. Jude is making runs from the deep and, you know, giving an presence in the box. But Brahim, definitely not, man.
I don't know. I expect a lot. Let's be honest. Like, fuck the coaching side of things. You know, fuck what personnel we have, right? I need better output from our players, right? Whether it be getting into better positions, making better decisions, when to shoot, when not to shoot. Simple stuff like that, I reckon, would fetch us more goals. Like, I don't know if, it like, black magic would be the answer to, you know, to get to that point. But when I watch games, I'm not a professional, I'm not a coach, I'm not a guy who played at the top level, right? I haven't played in the Premier Division. But what I can say from years of watching our own great sides, yes, there's one major difference. They had quality goal scorers and this team doesn't. Provided we can still do much, much better. We don't have to look so toothless against sides, you know, like with less than quarter of the budget we have, right? And definitely the quality in the gap in quality as well comes into play. Guys like Rodrigo, how many times does he shoot straight at the keeper? I don't get it, man. Like, it's not all down to Carlo as well. He's kind of trying to get them into very good positions. But what the fuck is Rodrigo on about? Like, I don't know. Like, I can't defend him no more. Honestly, isn't this a significant case of someone who's lost all confidence?
In the previous episode, I've said this, like, Rodrigo starting to worry me with his finishing. And I kind of felt that there were some signs today as well where I felt that he could have finished better. But then there were certain situations where I think that he was in a better position to score. He was in a position where he had to take a shot with his left foot, you know. He didn't really have the time to take a shot with his favorite foot and stuff like that, where, you know, he could place the ball or, you know, even he didn't really have the time to do that. So for me, overall, I kind of felt like Rodrigo was decent today. If he had scored a goal, I mean, we would be having a different conversation about him. But the thing is, like, today, I kind of, you know, in the last episode, I said Rodrigo, he's off form. He's just trying to do what might get him the goal, you know, something that might get him the goal. That is what he's trying to do. But today, I felt like he kind of, you know, he was more motivated to combine with Vinicius and the others. As compared to the previous game. So for me today, I was kind of like happy about that aspect of Rodrigo's game. But then when you say Rodrigo didn't score, yeah, I mean, you have a completely valid point. I think we definitely need a goal scorer.
Fair pass to Rodrigo. Rodrigo in his element would put it top corner.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what he's doing.
Better from Rodrigo, you know, especially when it comes inside the penalty box. And I've said this before as well. Real Madrid, how far they go in Europe is going to depend a lot on how much, you know, what kind of form Rodrigo comes in towards the important games of the season. So for me, this Real Madrid side will go as far as Rodrigo, you know, takes them. I mean, Rodrigo is not somebody who's going to raise the floor of this team, but Rodrigo is definitely a player who can help raise the ceiling of this team.
See, that's the biggest gripe I have, you know. Basically, Vinny, we all know, yes, he has had how many? 10 goals, I think, in 2024. Decent return for a winger, playing out of position at the front too, right? It's good. It's decent, right? But going a couple of years back, or going back even last year, we thought Rodrigo was the better finisher, who basically, if your life depended on it and two players are running one-on-one, you would bet on Rodrigo to save your life, right? That's not exactly the case. And that's my biggest gripe. Like, I can't really get past it. When I watch games, I look at Rodrigo and he seems to look like a player who just doesn't know how he can get the next rubber the green, who basically, like you said, is looking for ways to just finish and let off steam. No, that shouldn't be the
when you go a certain run of games without scoring a goal, I mean, that's natural. You know, the pressure is going to build up. I think it's going to be there. We saw it happen to Lewandowski early in the season. We had this talk with Barca, Hafed from Barca Boy, you know, I said the same thing to him. Lewandowski, once he gets that one particular goal, his performances will improve, and then he improved, you know, as soon as he got his goal. So for Rodrigo, I can't expect the same thing, you know. Once he gets that goal, that, you know, release a little bit pressure off him, I think his performances, especially in front of the goal, will improve. But then I think Rodrigo kind of needs to work on adding that consistency. You know, like you said, till last season, everybody would have said Rodrigo is the better finisher. I mean, I personally felt that Rodrigo was more comfortable inside the box, you know, more composed, and had his head on his shoulder, did not like lose it, and, you know, did not try to rush things. But this season especially, he has done it. I think for me, watching this game, what I felt was like, if Benzema hadn't been there this season, I think Rodrigo's performances would have been better, because Benzema could have, like, maybe, you know, guided him a little bit better, tried to make him understand, taking the pressure off of him. This season, with Vini and Rodrigo suddenly being the primary strikers, I think they are feeling the pressure of it. You know, without a guy like Benzema, maybe even, let's just ignore the name and let's imagine, you know, an experienced striker being there. That probably would have helped them, guide them through this, you know, through this rough stretch, especially Rodrigo. But it isn't there, and I mean, these guys have to adapt. And I think Real Madrid paid a lot of money to get them here, and Real Madrid kind of believe in them being the players they can, you know, believe in what kind of players these guys can be. Now it's up to them to show it. You know, this is Real Madrid. This isn't like, you know, some random club. So if they don't show it, I mean, I'm sorry to say, Rodrigo's career at Real Madrid might, you know, end prematurely. I don't want this to happen. You don't want this to happen. I don't think anybody who supports Real Madrid wants this to happen. But now it is up to Rodrigo. You know, he needs to keep his head on his shoulders, stay calm, and somehow, you know, show us what he's got.
My question is, I know this is coming from a layman, right? Guys who support the club instead of, you know, running the club, right? I know this isn't FIFA to basically, you know, tear up the tactics board and basically start anew, right? I'm not asking to really do that. But games like this against home, against a Celta side, who hasn't been great, right? Let's be honest, they're just bang average, or you could even say below fucking average, right? Why can't we come up with a plan? Yes, we have deployed the 4-3-3 in various points of games where we need to, you know, make a comeback or, you know, try to change things. Go with the 4-3-3, right? I know Joselu, when he has started in some games, we have come on here during the post-match and basically looked back on that particular game and thought to ourselves, is he really, you know, A-tier or S-tier quality? No, right? But we kind of give him a platform to basically build confidence and then kind of gain some momentum. What if 4-3-3 is the answer in at least the big games? Like, looking at this diamond formation, I had high hopes, right, early in the season. And you guys were very keen to bring me back down to earth. But I was adamant, no, this is the secret recipe, man. This recipe is going to basically be our golden ticket to success this year. But the more I look at how we play, right, the more we look at how much we gain from this, at least offensively. Yes, defensively, you can say, like, we are one of the best teams in Europe. Like, we have conceded very, very less amount of goals as compared to what we would have expected this team to. But why can't we go with the 4-3-3, man? Just go back to the roots in some games and try to kind of have an alternative. If it comes to a crunch tie, we have that in the arsenal. Like, we have players who are back familiar with that being deployed on the pitch. Like, I can watch for it basically by saying that we can be so much more expansive playing in the 4-3-3.
I
need to hear your thoughts on that.
I think personally, it is kind of Ancelotti rewarding Brahim. I mean, there is no other way to look at it. You know, Brahim is somebody who forced his way into the team. When the season started, I felt that Brahim was like literally last choice in the attack, you know, even behind Arda.
Mm.
But this guy is like kind of propelled himself to be second, like first sub, you know, the first guy behind Rodrigo and Vinicius, and then maybe Bellingham, you know, if we kind of imagine Bellingham to be an attacker as well. So he's the first change guy. He's the guy who, whenever somebody gets injured, he comes in. And the good thing for Ancelotti is the fact that he doesn't really need to tinker too much with his tactics, because Brahim is like, you know, an attacking midfielder. So the rational thing to do, and based on what we have seen so far this season, the thing is to reward Brahim and, you know, give him a chance to play his natural game. So I kind of understand why they're sticking with it, and I think they kind of believe in the system a lot. So changing formations isn't something they might want to do. But I mean, I understand this, especially, like, you know, towards the start of the game and towards the start of this podcast as well. I said, like, I kind of felt that Real Madrid was squeezed vertically. And, you know, if they had started a player like Joselu today, I felt that, you know, especially if he had started with a player like Jose Leotre, more of vertical space would have been created, more chances to play along between the lines, you know, and more chances to open up Celta. And I kind of felt that when Jose Leotre came on, he kind of did it. So I would give credit to Ancelotti for recognizing it, but then I kind of felt like, you know, the substitutes were a little bit too late, because I think Jose Leotre came around the 70th minute. So
just
probably could have brought him on sooner. And overall, I don't really have an answer for you, you know, because
yeah,
we probably have let me
put it this way as well, right? Like, if you look at from the other side of the spectrum, start Hosselu, right? And people would say, oh yeah, like, if we start him, like, what is the option from the bench? Bring on fucking Alvaro. I know he hasn't been tearing up with the Castilla either. Like, he has been, you know, facing his own adversities, to put it.
But I mean, you make a good point. But the thing is, like, we all know about this Ancelotti, that he's gonna use the first team player before he uses a Castilla player, and I kind of felt like that is something that goes to his man management. You know, he has to keep the first team happy. So overall, as long as he can get the job done between, you know, using just the first team player, he's gonna do it. I mean, Farouk would say this is what Ancelotti is, and you know what Ancelotti is all about. So I mean, this is how Ancelotti is gonna do his thing. So, you know, we have to kind of take that into account as well. And I think there's a reason why he's the perfect fit for Madrid, because he kind of keeps everyone happy, keeps everyone ticking. And I mean, this is an aspect to it, to keeping everybody happy and keep everybody ticking. So that is probably why he's not going to Castilla. And I mean, you kind of have to give him credit, you know, because he's done well with Real Madrid so far this season, especially getting the results out to this team that has been ravaged by injuries, you know, at
the But you feel me, right, bro? Like, I've been...
I mean, I agree. I already told you, right? You know, I kind of felt that Jose Luis started.
How much have I defended Carlo, right? Especially with Farouk basically, you know, like, waiting with this axe to, you know, rip my head off. How many times have I sat here and basically, you know, said Carlo is doing a brilliant job? We all know that he's doing a brilliant job. I just need a plan B.
Like a hangman or something, you know?
Well, that's a completely different conversation, you know, which I wouldn't, you know, encourage you to have right now. But man, all I'm asking is Don Carlo to have a plan B, honestly. Because I can see very well in the Champions League against elite teams, we are not going to break them down. Simple as, and we're going to concede the same goals we would concede if we are playing in the 4-3-3. So what is the difference? I don't get it.
I think the idea over here, especially, is the fact that when you play against elite teams, you're going to use a certain style, right? That certain style is going to be four defenders, four midfielders, two attackers. And your two attackers are going to be Vinicius and Rodrigo. And then there's going to be Bellingham and three other midfielders. So, you know, I think that is why they kind of want the team to get used to totally have some changes and still have those players, you know, get used to those combinations, those, you know, those, let's say, play styles, you know, certain plays that they need to pull off. So I guess that's why they're sticking with it. I mean, overall, I do agree with you, you know, especially with games like against teams like these, especially Celta and the other.
Against, let me be honest, against Leipzig, our combinations, we try to do combinations, but what kind of took
against
us by
Leipzig,
surprise?
I'd say this, against Leipzig, especially in their in the second leg, the idea of Ancelotti wasn't about combination. It was about creating a midfield overload and maintaining possession. And I think they utterly failed to do that. You know, that is why they started with five midfielders, and they weren't able to accomplish it. And all that ended up happening was the fact that, you know, we kind of got pinned
back. I agree with the midfield overload part.
The thing is, like, when you play against elite teams, you're also, you know, you also have to understand that they can also play football. It's not just Real Madrid who play football. So sometimes it happens. Sometimes you go in with a certain set of tactics. It doesn't work out at all. It didn't work out in that game. Rodrigo came on, still it didn't work out. You know, they tried to change things. It didn't work out. Those kind of games happen. We're just lucky that we got through. I mean, the players realized that they weren't good. Rudiger came out and said that, you know, this isn't a win worth, like, this progression isn't worth celebrating because we weren't good. And I completely agree with you when you say that Real Madrid has to do better, especially the quarterfinals, you know, depending upon who we draw. If we draw a team like Inter, I mean, we're definitely going to struggle because Inter have a great squad. But, I mean, they still need to win against Atleti. But if they do qualify and we face off against Inter, I mean, that would be a pretty close game. So I think nobody can be taken lightly in the quarterfinals. But Real Madrid definitely do need to improve. So let's see what happens in the future.
What I meant by the combination bit, you know, earlier while, you know, we were having the conversation, was the fact that combinations, like you said, is how we depend on scoring the goals, right? At a certain point in the game, it became so tense, it became so imperative that unless we find a finish, this might get really, really hairy for us and pretty quickly, right? Like, after we scored the goal, when they scored, alarm bells went off. Let's be honest. People watching in the stadium, us watching at home, we knew what was coming. Leipzig, we're going to throw the kitchen sink at it, right? And we couldn't deal with it. So my question is, if we depend on combinations to, you know, create stuff, right? We did that against Celta, who basically sat back, gave us the freedom. You come at us, and let's see what happens. What if teams play like Leipzig and are, you know, basically in our faces? I don't think we can cope. All these combinations, flare tricks, like backheel passes, all of that goes out of the window. People just look shell shocked. I can see that happening.
The answer to that is letting players get into confidence, letting players get into a rhythm, and that is why Ancelotti is like kind of sticking to that particular style, that particular formation in games like this. So players can play it, get used to get some repetition under their belt, and get used to it. Because what you're suggesting is like the alternative is like Real Madrid go into every game, big game, playing Joselu as a striker and playing rule from football. That's not
every
happen.
Big game. You never know, man. Michu.
Definitely,
Michu scored 22 goals for Swansea won them a League Cup. You never know, man.
Are you seriously comparing Swansea to Real Madrid?
But like, I'm just telling you, man.
Ignoring that comment, I mean, Ancelotti definitely does have a plan B. That is why he brought Joselu on in the second half, right? I mean, when Joselu first came on, were we expecting him to play this much? We weren't. Still, he's managed. Ancelotti has given him ample goal time. I mean, there's a reason why Joselu has scored like 13 goals, right? So, I mean, Ancelotti definitely does have a plan B. Should he start with his plan B in games like this, especially against games like teams like Celta? I do agree with it, but I'm sure Ancelotti has a reason why he's doing this. And I mean, we kind of won 4-0. Was the game against Leipzig a disappointment? He said it was a disappointment. We need to improve on that. But I mean, if anybody can get the team playing a better style, I think it's Ancelotti. And he has shown that, throughout the season, especially given how he has managed the team with the injuries. So, I mean, I would just give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, Let's just see what happens.
Right. Let me get a few other comments quickly. Ashik Bikapashi was mentioning two own goals, consistent misses. Leipzig today, and we'll still look like our midweek selves, a broken weak Celta Vigo, against which we scored one in the first half and had to rely on two own goals. What two own goals is he talking about? Is it the Vinny's first goal and then
Rudiger? It was the first Rudiger goal and the third goal that Vinny crossed into the box.
Is Rudiger's goal an own goal?
Yeah.
Okay.
He kind of collided on the bar and went off inside.
Fair enough. Ashik was also mentioning Rodrigo again wasted opportunities, but we should still start him so we can miss chances. Makes total sense to me. Honest to God, I never thought a time would come where basically people are saying that he's a better Rashford or some shit, and then Ashik saying all this. Yeah, it doesn't really sit right with me, man. Like, honestly, like, I have these, emotional monologues regarding Rodrigo. I hope he's fucking listening to this and doing something about it, I don't get that confidence from him, anymore. Faruk was mentioning, I couldn't agree more. The score definitely doesn't tell the whole story. Right. Ash was also mentioning, I like Rodrigo, but when you know that you'll not be competing for your position, then you get too comfortable. No comments. Ashik was also saying, sure, Joselu is not a Benzema or a Lewandowski, but he allows the wider players space, which helps more creative and quicker players like Vinny and Brahim. Bigger Prince Arthur was mentioning, Carlo has the hierarchy mentality. Even when his first 11 is not back, he'll not back them. It's not it, he'll not back them. He has no plan B today. If you watch City's game, you would admire the two coaches' tactical level.
I mean, if he didn't have a plan B, he wouldn't bring on Joselu in the second half towards the end. I mean, I kind of don't agree with that.
Man, that is a plan B that, that you can go all the way back to grassroots football associate yourself.
He can only create with the players that he has at his disposal. So, I mean, I'm not really sure, what kind of...
When you see someone who has played the game at the elite level, won a couple of one Champions League, I think three or four Serie A titles with Roma.
So let me just put it this way, right? I'm not just going to put it to you. I'm just going to put it to the whole chat. Everybody's talking about he should alter something. Okay, fine. He takes off Rodrigo. He keeps Brahim. We start with Brahim. Let's say Brahim, Joselu, and whatever. I mean, what kind of a thing that you expect to change with that? Like, what kind of alterations are you expecting in his play style? Prince Harder talked about how City, he tactically, Pep is a good coach. definitely have to give it. And he, Pep and Klopp had like multiple plans, let's say, you know. So what do you, what would you do? Okay, you are given these 25 players that Real Madrid have, and what kind of changes would you make?
I would straight up call someone with the profile of Joselu, so that Joselu, when he doesn't start.
Then you don't have a plan B. What you're doing is like you're essentially playing the same style of football, only you're switching out players and hoping that Alvaro plays better than Joselu.
Man, the fucking plan A with Rodrigo and Vinny is absolutely shite.
So now you're agreeing that there's a plan A, there's a plan B. So Ancelotti does have variations.
I'm not talking about him having a plan A or plan B. I'm just talking about how he should basically have a system where someone like Joselu can also thrive in.
I mean, he does
not
have
in the
system.
Last 20 minutes.
He makes changes when there needs to be a change, right?
Man, really, you watch it first half and you think
Rodrigo
and Vinny.
Fine. The thing
is
like,
bail us out.
You keep talking about the first half. I kind of agree with you, but the thing is like you also have to give credit to Celta with what they did, right? You saw the game. Did you see like, okay, fine. If you guys go and, you know, rewatch the highlights and notice how high Celta's backline was.
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess the standards have to be dropped.
It's not about like dropping standards. The thing is, like, the coach altered the way we were playing, right? He realized that they're kind of compressing us, so we need to be narrower, we need to be more aggressive, and they kind of used it, you know? And the whole reason why I felt like Lucas started today was the fact that he gives you more going forward. So, you know, they kind of tried to adapt it, and even in the mid-game, there were some changes. When they don't make it, when games like Rayo happen, I am open to criticizing Ancelotti, but to come here and say, you know, Ancelotti is not doing anything, Ancelotti doesn't really have an alternative, I don't think that's fair on him.
Fair enough. Right? Yeah. What makes this game what it is people having different observations of the same thing. So, yeah, I'm superly, you know, disappointed in how, you know, especially with the turn of the year and how our performances have dwindled, let's be honest. It's absolutely utter drab, right? And we weren't like this.
Here's the thing, you know, when we had this post-match after Girona game, I remember Javier was here and he said that, you know, when we are going to play against the lower teams of La Liga, I think he kind of referenced to the Rayo game, you can't expect Real Madrid to be the, let's say, if the Girona game was Real Madrid giving 120%, when we play against Rayo, Real Madrid is going to be at 70%, at 60%. And this can't expect it because, you know, the players are not going to play 120% every game. That's definitely not going to happen. First, we don't have a deep squad, okay? A lot of players got injured. I mean, okay, fine. At the beginning of the season with everybody fit, maybe we have a decent enough squad. But after once everybody gets injured, the same players have to play game in, game out, right? There is a fatigue that builds in. So you kind of expect performances like these. So you just have to take it in the stride. And I mean, at every game, Real Madrid is not going to play 120%. Real Madrid is not going to play 150%. There are going to be games where Real Madrid is going to play 50%. There's going to be a stretch of the season where Real Madrid is going to struggle. But the thing is, like, it is important that we arrive towards the end of the season in good form. And right now, we are struggling a little bit. When you say that Real Madrid need to improve their performances, especially going into the later half of the Champions League, and given the fact that we're only 8 points ahead, like 7 points ahead of Girona, whatever it is, you know, we need to keep our form and we need to watch out for our backs. And I think that is definitely a valid point, and Real Madrid definitely do need to improve. But I kind of understand why they're struggling, but I hope, at the same time, I hope, because I know these players are capable of more, that as the season goes on, they'll get better.
I'm into that, right? I guess it's a perfect excuse for the ad break, no? Pick up Manscaped, pick up Doris, always.
It's time to talk about Manscaped again. So, ever since we started this podcast, you guys asked us how you can help us out and support us. Well, we are happy to announce that we've been sponsored by Manscaped, and it just so happens that the Super Bowl is happening this weekend, and Manscaped is here to bring you the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit, the absolute goat, you know, of grooming and precision trimming, and you can get yourself a good little discount from manscaped.com if you use our code LBR20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. So in this Beard Hedger Pro Kit, you get everything you need to create your own signature look and especially do it with ease. You get the Beard Hedger, which is a cordless trimmer that is also waterproof, so you can just shave in the shower, there's no mess. It is high precision, and you get one guard that has 20 adjustable lengths, you know, so you don't need 20 different guards. You can just have one guard that is adjustable to 20 different lengths for, you know, high precision shaving. And in the kit, you get also a bunch of things. You get like a beard balm, you get beard oil, shampoo, conditioner, you get a beard brush, you get beard scissors, you get a comb, you get a bunch of things, you know. So definitely check out Manscaped, and of course, what better time to do it than now, especially as the Super Bowl is coming up and you wanna, you know, look fresh for the ladies, especially if you're going out on that day. And definitely, you know, go and check out manscaped.com, use code LBR20 at checkout, you know, to get 20% off and free shipping. That's LBR20 for 20% off and free shipping. And thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring us, and back to the video.
You heard, Doris, LBR20 to get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com. Show them some love, show us some love. Right. On to better, positive things, yeah? More, right? I need the cheering up after that. Kamavinga, man, super, super thrilled with this performance. Yes, he has a bit of an edge to him, you know, which reminded me of his first season a couple of times this game, but all in all, you know, superb going forward. Had some very good progressive passing, you know, in his game today, and also putting in the dirty shift.
Going, I think something that needs to be added is the fact that going forward, he tried to take a lot of shots, and I think that is important, getting repetitions, you know,
100%,
trying to understand 100%. Like how to react in certain situations, because we have criticized him for his play in the final third before, and I kind of felt like this is something that he needs to improve. Yeah. I kind of need like two things from Kamavinga going forward. I kind of need him to improve decision making. That is only going to happen with repetitions, you know, playing in that situation, understanding how to react to it. So again, I felt his game today was positive. And the second thing I need him to improve is the fact that he's shot from distance. So again, you know, you can practice like 20, 30 shots in the nets every day, maybe 100 shots, but it's not the same thing as playing in a game match situation. So for me, him getting out those shots, I mean, I hope, like, you know, in the next match, he kind of understands why it didn't happen for him today, and come next game, he kind of, you know, does better. Because I think when you're trying to score a goal, even be it from distance or be it from, you know, close range, you always have to be calm, and you always need to know, you know, you need to have that calmness to make the decision. And I kind of felt like players who lack confidence tend to rush their shots, kind of like Rodrigo is doing this season. And, you know, the best players, the better players always know how to you know, make a decision in a quick seconds, and that is something that comes with repetitions, with experience. So I kind of hope, you know, Kamavinga does a better job going of that moving forward. Maybe if not this season, hopefully next season.
100%. Especially his shot from outside the box, you know, which I think was a curler to the right hand side of the post, was pretty impressive. Even the other shot, I think, did brush the post on the way out. It was kind of speculative. It wasn't the header. It was a long shot again. Did it brush the post, or was
the
I tripping?
The only shot I remember brushing the post is his header. I don't really remember the other one.
The other one might have gone wide. Right. The other one got saved by Gaeta. But yeah, the header was decent as well. Like opening couple of minutes, right? With the set piece from Modric.
Even later on in the first half, I think he had another header on the ball. So I think the coaching staff especially kind of impressed upon him the need to be, you know, more prolific. So I kind of think he was trying, he got the go ahead and he was trying to score goals, getting into good positions. And he kind of also said, I think in the like an interview before the game, that he kind of, he wants to score a goal, and Ancelotti has promised to him that he's going to dance with him. So
really?
I kind of think that he wants to make it happen. So, you know, the thing is, like, even I am excited to see that happen.
He looks like a very confident lad, you know, especially doing press conference and pressers and stuff. Like, he just looks super relaxed, in his element, smiling. Yeah, you just, you know, look at him, and he just oozes confidence. You know, that's what I like about Kamavinga, man. Just a very, very, you know, good kid. But yeah, super impressed. I would like to see more of this from Kamavinga. This is what we bought him for, you know. His two-way abilities is going to be a, you know, a brilliant asset towards the pivotal part of the season coming up. Ricardo, Ashik was mentioning Suned. I hope he's listening to this and does something about it. Pure gold. Yo, yeah, like, Ashik has this tendency to basically laugh at my tears, man. You should stop doing that. You know, it makes me question, like, you know, do we support the same fucking team at times? Yeah, but big up Ashik. He was also saying Kama plays without fear. He doesn't let the occasion get to him. But without a clinical finish at the season, we need Jude's presence as a false nine. Ricardo was mentioning, because Ricardo, the team was somewhat poor in terms of creating direct chances. That's my biggest worry. You know, like, when I watch games, I just tend to shed hair. Like, I'm not even joking. When I watch the team trying to recycle possession, you know, try to combine and do nothing with it in terms of creating, you know, clear cut chance, it just riles me up, man.
I think I
didn't grow up watching this Madrid.
I think this was true for first half, but second half, I think we kind of improved performance and we created
better. When Celta kind of came out to, you know, do something, we had a better time, you know, playing balls in behind. For a fact, yeah.
Okay, if a team is like sitting 10 people and closing down space, obviously you're going to have a tough time creating chances.
100%.
You need Celta to play football as well. I think in the second half, Real Madrid kind of created a better chance, even ignoring the substitutions. I mean, before the 70th minute, I felt Real Madrid were better compared in the first, you know, first, let's say, 25 minutes, is it? The first 25 minutes of the second half, Ramadan were better than the first 45 minutes of the first, like, I mean, the 45 minutes of the first half.
So, holy shit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. I get your point.
Yeah.
too much.
Ramadan, first 25 minutes of the second half, better than the first 45 that we saw.
Okay. Speaking English, bro. But, yeah, man. Ricardo was mentioning the team was somewhat poor in terms of creating direct chances. Most of what we created when a clear cut, this has been happening for at least the last 4 to 5 matches. That has been the constant theme, you know.
I also want to point out the fact that, you know, in football there's a zone 14. I kind of feel like, you know, there's area of the box, you know, outside the box, area of the field outside the box, where if once you dominate it, you kind of get a lot of options to create chances. And I kind of felt Real Madrid, especially this season, have struggled with it because we don't really have a player playing there. When Jude plays, he kind of tends to, you know, occupy those spaces, half spaces around the box and everything. So it kind of does help Real Madrid. But like, when you watch teams like City and Liverpool play, I think, I wouldn't say Liverpool, but yeah, definitely I can say talk about City. I'm not really aware about Liverpool. So when you watch teams like City play, when you watch teams like Leverkusen play, those teams will occupy those spaces, those important spaces, and create a lot of chances. So I think their chance creation comes from there. But Real Madrid, especially this season, I think, you know, we have been struggling a little bit creating chances from the midfield because we don't really have players attacking the offensive areas. So that is an area I definitely think that Real Madrid definitely need to improve this season, next season, you know, coming season, everything. So that is an area I hope, you know, they do better as the season goes on.
100%, I learned something new. Zone 14. Thanks for that, Mo.
I mean, I've mentioned it before on this podcast as well. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. My memory's shite anyway. But yeah, Zone 14, I got to flex it to my mates. You know, I know about Zone 14. They'd be like, "What is Zone 14?" You know, is it the sequel
first of all,
to District 9?
I need to make sure that I got the number right. But yeah, I mean, right. You get my feeling right.
Maybe I should flex it to Francesco and be like, "Coach, what were we doing in Zone 14 today?" You know, he'll be like, "How do you know Zone 14?"
I mean, before you do that, I definitely need to look it up and make sure that we get it right.
I'm just joking. I can't talk tactics to the boss. You know, no chance. But yeah. Vinicius, right? Every post-match I come home to Vinny's antics, right? I just hope that this
stops. I think Vinny needs
somewhere
to go to an anger management thing sometimes.
Yeah. Just like, I've seen a lot of people being angry, lose their wits. We had one of the most hot-headed people to ever step on a football pitch, Pepe, right? That man could kill someone in his rage. But yet, when we saw Pepe, we knew there was a controlled, methodical plan to how we basically went it, or how we basically took it out on opponents. Vinny is pure idiocy.
I mean, I think Pepe and Vinicius, those situations are completely different. Pepe was somebody who was like naturally aggressive when he was playing the game. Vinicius, it isn't about being aggressive. Vinicius, for me, it feels like it's more about the fact that he doesn't feel the protection. So he kind of gets angry when he's not being afforded this. He kind of feels like everybody else is getting a level of protection that he does not. So for me, that is the difference between Pepe and Vinicius. And I mean, I kind of don't understand the comparison between the two. But I mean, both of them are being petulant. I guess that is the comparison. But like
that is the comparison. That is like, the only comparison.
Pepe is like completely different thing. You know, Pepe was like more aggressive, and I have seen him lose it. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but he kind of went out like, you know, he kind of went crazy on the Hetafe player. If you remember that
particular, he stomped game. On him.
Yeah. Man, he literally kicked him. He like literally like, kicked him in the stomach and everything. He was kind of like attacking him, and I think he got like 10 matches banned, and that was like kind of. I think he got away lightly. Today's game, it would have been a much longer suspension. But
all I'm asking is Vinny has to go.
It's more about the fact that, you know, he kind of feels like he's not being protected enough. And I think Ancelotti said this.
Fuck protection. This guy deserves no protection. Someone who is openly requesting the ref, look at me, he's following me, is never going to get protected.
I mean, the thing is, like, Ancelotti is a Vinicius kind of gets kicked in the head and no foul is a
motherfucker.
Honestly, I don't really understand why you're getting angry with him. I mean, you do understand.
Bro, he needs to just go watch, you know, his peers. Guys like Neymar. Go watch fucking Maradona. Yes, it's a different time.
Man, Neymar used to roll around like he was a bowling pin. So I kind of don't understand why you're asking him to go watch Neymar.
I get the dive allegations, but come on, man. Do it all you want. That won't fetch you a red. But let me put this straight. Let me put this straight, right? Like, that won't fetch you a red. If he does this, like, against someone in the Champions League, he's going to get sent off. The first thing I said was,
like, Vinicius needs to calm it down. But the thing is, like, you kind of need to understand where Vinicius is coming from.
We have been saying that for a year.
You might be saying it, but you don't understand where Vinicius is coming from. You are comparing him to Pepe when there's, like, completely different situations. And I kind of understand your frustration with Vinny. He needs to do better because it ends up costing us the games. Most of the time, Vinicius is the guy who's creating most chances for us. And when he's out of the game, like, you know, Real Madrid definitely look even more toothless than they do regularly. But the thing is, like, Vinicius is that way because there's a certain reason. I mean, as a Real Madrid fan, I'm going to defend Vinicius. I'm not going to go and say, man, this guy's shit or, you know, whatever you said. But for me personally, yeah, definitely Vinicius needs to improve.
Defend him all you want. But I want you to come here and defend him when he loses us a game all on his own. Yeah, like, I'm just telling you, I don't want that to happen. But it's just rational to go by what he's been doing, right? Elite players, no matter what they do, right? No matter how much they get kicked, we all know, right? In most games,
you said no matter how they get kicked. Do they get kicked in their heads with referees not calling it?
I have no words.
So you don't have words because it doesn't happen.
I don't care.
No, you don't have words because it doesn't happen. I mean, we sit here and criticize La Liga referees for not giving players adequate protection, for not whistling the fouls that need to be called against Real Madrid. But
what happened in the Champions League a couple of days ago? Did you see what happened in the Champions League
before Vinicius pushed him? By the way, which was made out to be as if Vinicius was choking the player. But what happened before Vinicius pushed him?
Any sorts of aggression is going to go against us.
There's a lot of things that happen in the pitch. Sometimes it happens. And I understand that Vinicius was wrong in pushing him away. Vinicius is wrong in pushing him away. And
guys like Ramos, guys like Pepe
had to come out and say that Vinicius is being crazy or whatever, I mean, better control
on the emotion getting to their head.
The only bit I agree with you over there is Vinicius needs to have better control on emotions. Okay, that is a point that we both agree on. I can kind of understand where Vinicius is coming from. You don't agree with it? Fine, let's move on.
I just hope, you know, the Vinny defenders, you know, they just wake up and realize, right? Like, yes, we can feel sorry for him. I was of the same emotion.
No, man, I don't get it. Let's just move on. Okay,
let me just round this off by saying this. You don't have to react to this, but I was just on your side as well, right? I don't support Barcelona. I support Brazil. I support Real Madrid, right?
I don't support Barcelona. I only support Real Madrid. And I'm going to say this. Vinny needs better protection.
Right.
The only thing I agree with you is like he needs to control his emotions more.
You didn't let me finish. But I have to say this, that I was of the same emotion that you are having right now, right? I felt sorry for Vinny, that people are basically ganging upon him, including players who are basically getting to their head, which is again down to him being openly a victim of basically being wound up. The more you let people wind you up, obviously they're going to throw the same shit at you again. That's one side of the equation. The other side is basically, after a while, right? After a while, the more reactive you get, people are going to look to that and basically get you sent off, which he's basically getting baited at every other week. At first, I used to be calmer with my friends telling me, man, that's La Liga. I used to be like, fuck, man, I can't, you know, associate myself with that. Like, yes, La Liga has been shit for years. Yes, the refereeing has been blind for years. I get it. Then I watch the Champions League. Same thing happens. There's no difference. So I need this to change. If Vinicius has to basically have a legacy with us, he needs to rip this out of his system. No matter what. Go to anger management classes like what Mo said. That is a big statement. That is not defending him. Go to fucking anger management classes. Get your shit sorted. And then we play football. That's it. Simple as. But we move. Jabara Omala Gonta says, Al Madrid, Ashik was saying an unnecessary yellow from Vinny. Mengeza knew he was going to get a yellow. Vinny could have walked away and just piled on the pressure on Mengeza to commit a foul. That's what, you know, intelligent people do. Jabara also says Vinny needs Mbappe by his side to take some of the heat from the opposition. They are clearly targeting him because he is a threat. Man, best players always got targeted all throughout the course of history. You go ask Puskas, you wake him up from his grave, you ask him, he'll be like, yes, I was, you know, kicked by four people left and right. It's just the way of the game. Ashi was also mentioning, and as a reply to Javada's comment. But yeah, like, I clearly get the two sides of the, you know, spectrum. Me and Mo is basically a reflection of how people are divided. I mean, the thing is,
like, you were saying something that we kind of, like, we kind of do agree on. Like, I mean, I don't understand, like, the thing is, like, I know if Vinny kind of keeps on reacting to it, there's going to be more of it. And, we've talked about this before, and I think we kind of said that, you know, he needs to calm down. He needs to be better in dealing with certain situations. But the thing is, all of that is valid. But it is also valid to say that Vinny is that way because he's getting unfair. Like, he doesn't really get the protection that big players do. And, I mean, in La Liga, every week we are here complaining about how the refereeing is, how we're not getting calls in our favor and everything. Yep. But then at the same time, when we see that is, who is the guy who's not getting calls in his favor? It's almost invariably Vinicius. Who's the most fouled player in La Liga? It is Vinicius. When he's not getting those calls, when he's getting kicked left, right, and center, that is how anybody's going to react, be it Vinicius or be it anybody. But, you know, I mean, I understand where you say, yeah, Vinicius should be better in dealing with certain situations. I agree with what you said over there. And, you know, at the start of the thing, I said that Vinicius needs to control his emotions. He needs to go to, you know, do whatever he can to control his emotions, keep it in check. And, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, okay, let's come to the NBA, right? The best player in NBA is LeBron James. And the one thing that he always says is, like, people always try to rile him up. But he knows he has to keep in control because he needs to be on the court. Because if he's off the court, Simples. The team is not going to be helped. And I kind of think, Vinicius needs to understand that, because on the pitch, Vinicius is Real Madrid's best player. So Vinicius needs to be on the pitch. If he's not on the pitch, Real Madrid are not going to be as good as they can be. So over there, completely agreed. But then there's a thing where I'm a Real Madrid fan and I'm going to defend Vinicius because I think that he has been unfairly targeted. Especially when it comes to getting calls, especially when it comes to fouls, especially when it comes to racist abuse. And I think those are two facts that don't change, you know. They aren't mutually exclusive. They're inclusive. One led to the other. And I think both need to be done. The refs need to give him better protection. But then Vinicius also needs to improve dealing with situations like this.
I agree with most of what you said. But yeah, you know where we disagree on. But I'll add one more thing. Since you wanted to end this before, then I added something, and then you added, I'm going to break the rule again, end it on one small notion.
We kind of brought it up. So.
No, one small notion. Okay, it just popped up in my head, which I wouldn't remember for the next episode, which is, you know, like, it's inevitable that this is going to happen again, right? I'm not a behavioral specialist or someone who is well-versed in psychology or anything. Right, but growing up watching top level football, right, watching our side, watching top sides all across Europe, I've had one takeaway from guys who basically dive around, who asks for a foul, who basically intimidates the referee into, you know, getting a decision, who, like Vinny, you know, people who feel hard done by, the more they do that, things doesn't go their way. History has told me that the people who expect for protection or people who expect referees to, you know, give them some sort of a reprieve, you know, after you know, a nasty tackle or nasty foul, you know, time and time again, never really works out that way. But people who are much more honest, like I'm not saying Vinny is diving. Vinny is not as bad as Neymar, is miles away from it, in fact, right? He doesn't dive much. Like, he doesn't dive at all. Let's just say, like, I would give that to Vinny. He's super clean in that regard, 100%. No doubts, right? But compare Vinny to someone who is super focused at, even the best professionals might lose it from time to time. But if someone, you know, takes a player X out, I can't, fucking, my brain is gone to the mud, right? I can't really think of an example. I will come up with it, you know, in the next episode or so. But someone who is much more calmer gets on with his game. Okay, after a couple of fouls, they will eventually know.
Just one thing, okay? At the start of the season, we were praising Jules for being calm, right?
Yeah.
What happened as the season went on?
Peer pressure. Influences.
Yeah. I mean, in that way, we might as well sell Vinny.
Still, Jude is the guy who is calming down Vinny. More than on one occasion.
That's what I'm talking about. The thing is, like, these things happen, especially when you get a continuous target, and when you're not getting calls in your favor, you perceive that you're not getting the adequate protection that you need. I mean, it happens to Vinicius. Vinicius is, like, getting it dialed up to 11 because he's shown that he can react to it in emotional ways. But then even players like Jude are responding to it, like, are getting...
Yeah, even Rodrigo is doing that. My boy, who used to never do that. So he's, like, elbowing the guy. Like, I've never seen him do this shit.
Yeah, so...
Benzema never did it. Cristiano rarely did it. Bale definitely didn't do it much. Like, see, that... These guys...
Cristiano
used,
never
like,
did just it? Are you serious?
Not to this extent.
Yeah, okay, I get it. But the thing is, like, people kind of react to different situations in different ways. So Vinicius definitely needs to improve. But, I mean, this is something that, you know, there's a reason why RMTV keeps on broadcasting videos every week. And it's simply because, you know, our players do not get the adequate protection that they need. And I think that there can be two truths, you know. There's no just one truth. There are two truths here. First is that Vinicius needs to improve his behavior, dealing with these situations especially. And the second thing is that there need to be better protection of players like Vinicius.
Hopefully. I just hope, but that's never going to happen with La Liga. No protection is going to happen. So I just hope he gets some inner peace, some zen. Practice some meditating and
like Ashik said, he needs to be like water.
Be like water, my friend. But yeah, like, I've vented enough. I hope, you know, people listening in won't take my views especially too harshly. Many people are going to be on Mo's side, I know, for a fact, because he has a reason for it,
funny.
For me.
He said Bale never showed any aggression because he was never on the field.
But yeah, these guys, needs to mature up a bit. That's my only request. But yeah, good goal again. Keep being clutch, my friend. You know, that's the way to shut up your critics. That's the way to, you know, answer your critics, answer opposition fans, answer La Liga, you know, the officials, everybody. You know, Vinny is coming up with the goods, and I'm so happy for him, honestly. Because if he wasn't, I'm telling you, if he wasn't performing and still doing all that antics, people wouldn't be this kind at all. So he's basically giving himself some time, giving himself some credit in the bank to basically, you know, like go again. So yeah, I really, really thank the stars, thank his form, especially coming into this year. 10 goals already. He is our savior, basically, up top. If he doesn't click, we don't have a chance. No matter what the magnitude of a game is, if Vinny is off it, we are finished. Right? So we just need to wrap him up, keep him in bubble wrap, like I used to say about Benzema. This is the time. Vinny has to be protected. Vinny has to be given some rest, rotated in. You know, like, especially after the international break, he's not going to get any time to rest. So I just hope we, you know, manage him a bit better, you know, try to ease him off. But yeah, overall, very impressive performance. You didn't really touch up on his performance, but he has the opportunity.
I mean, for me, more than the goal, I would kind of praise him for the own goal. That cross was, like, pretty good. putting it into
that guy missed it.
And Gaeta missed it, and it went off of the defender. I forget his name. I'm sorry, but I think it was Carlos.
Was that Starfelt?
I think it's Carlos Dominguez.
Dominguez.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. So correct me if I'm wrong. But the thing is, I kind of enjoyed his performances, and Vinicius has always been Real Madrid's most creative player. He's the most dangerous player that Real Madrid have. Even when he wasn't on target, he was creating a lot of chances, dribbling players out. He tried one out to AJ Strick that I didn't think really worked out. But overall, I'm just pretty pleased with Vinicius' performances today. Apart from, obviously, the Mingueza thing. So. But we've almost written a novel about it, so we don't really need to go talk about it.
Even Mingueza was bro, really? What you doing? Remember? They showed a clip of them hugging.
My comrade was saying Mingueza was going up to him and offering him a word of advice.
Oh yeah, mindset as well, ESPN, right? Yeah. ESPN. That guy is so annoying, the Spanish guy. Holy shit. How does Derek Ray sit through that, man?
This is the first time I kind of heard Mario Suarez. I've never seen him, actually. I heard him.
He's an ex-player, right? Yeah. I remember seeing his name pop up. Athleti, yeah, I remember. Mm. But who else? Some good performances. Ferre, decent again. He's
playing with hand brakes on. Yeah, I think Real Madrid are going to... Apart from Rodrigo, Ferre is another player that Real Madrid definitely need him to be in form, going into the latter half of the season. And I think we kind of keep touching upon it. And I think somehow, somewhere, Ferre needs to get a rest. He can recharge his batteries, be the Duracell that he is. Even Duracell runs out at times. So for me personally, I kind of feel Ferre, his performances aren't at the level that they were in the first half of the season. And that is why Real Madrid are definitely struggling to a little bit. I mean, okay, not everything can be put on Ferre, but there's also a part of it when it
transfers. Still decent. I felt he was good.
I mean,
he
wasn't as exceptional. But the thing is, at the start of the season, Ferre was let's say an 80 or 90. Right now, he's 70 or 80, between 70 and 80. And before, he was 80, 90. So for me personally, I kind of need to see more from Ferre, because he makes those runs. He carries the ball across the lines. He puts the ball into dangerous areas. Today, he was he did it to a certain extent, but not as well as he used to do it before. So I hope Ferre, going into the latter half, the important part of the season, is on top form, 100%, giving 100 out of 100, in the important games. That is what I expect from Ferre, and I hope he delivers that.
100%. Quickly, Modric.
Yeah, Modric decent was game pretty again. Impressive today.
My question is, again, who is the better set-piece taker? It has to be Modric, right? It has to be.
See, the thing is, whenever we talk about Modric's set pieces, it's invariably when he's there's been a goal. And the thing is, because Cruz is regular, he takes more, and we see more of the set pieces fail. Like I said, 10% of your set pieces are going to go into the goal. And Real Madrid this season have been one of the better teams when it comes to set pieces. Yeah, and I think today, Modric did well, especially because, but then we also have to remember that we got double digits into corners and set pieces, So we kind of got a lot of chances out of them. We managed to convert too. So this is something that happens. I mean, if you look at the percentage, maybe we kind of 15 to 20% conversion rate today. So it's over a period of time, it kind of evens out. So for me, there's a reason why Toni Kroos takes them. There's a reason why the coaching staff does trust Toni Kroos to take them. So I wouldn't really say, Modric is a better or whatever.
Yeah, it was a fun question too.
I mean, both of them are good. Both of them are good when it comes to crosses, corners. I think Cruz is definitely the better one when it comes to free kicks. But I think overall, Real Madrid definitely need a player who is more dangerous on free kicks, because I think Real Madrid definitely needs that kind of a player.
100%. We don't have any real free kick takers. But Modric in general really, ran the show for large parts. Was instrumental in kind of linking up, the midfield and attack. Popped up
when the lineup came on, I was actually worried. I was kind of worried about the fact that I didn't hope, we were going to miss Toni Kroos too much. But I think Modric just played today, covered up the gaps. And I think it definitely helped that Celta in the first half weren't as aggressive. And, even Celta, in the second half going forward, they were kind of toothless. So definitely helped out. But Modric's performance was brilliant. Whenever he had the ball, he was conducting the play well. And he was creating a lot of chances for, not exactly chances, but he was creating good scenarios for Real Madrid to take advantage of.
100%. I just like him, being in his flow. It's an absolute sight to behold. I just hope, he's arriving at the right time like I wanted. So yeah, fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed. Big Champions League games coming up. He is a must. Right. Who else? Vasquez, we kind of touched up on it.
Brilliant. I think we can't like enter this program without talking about Arda Güler. Finally gets his chance. I was kind of 100%. Crying out for him, and you know that goal was pretty well taken. I think Ceballos played a. Oh yeah, I believe the chat asked you to spend 10 minutes on Danny Ceballos and praising him like what was it, Kevin De Bruyne? With
that was Jacob. That was Jacob. His fucking audacity, you know. But
I think that pass for Güler was well. And so I'll tell you this thing. That finish from Güler was like for me was pretty brilliant because
the way he took the ball
past the keeper, because there was a situation earlier in the game where Hostelu was in a similar situation. He had to take the ball past the goalkeeper and finish it in, and he wasn't able to do it. But Güler, the first touch that he got, he completely takes the goalkeeper out, and the finish. Even then, you know, he managed to squeeze it in between the oncoming defender and the goalpost. So for me, that finish was also pretty brilliant. You need to stay calm.
On his weak foot as well.
Yeah, off the weak, and this is something that I always keep on saying. You know. When there's a guy this is the difference between a good player and a world-class player, you know. A good player also has the same qualities, but the thing is, like, they struggle in compared to the world-class players is, like, the speed of decision-making. And with Arda, when he's on the ball, you can see that speed of decision-making. That is why, like, with this kid, I have a lot of high hopes. And I hope he does a good job for him, you know, in the future.
100%. I expected a bit more of a extravagant celebration, but it was pretty laid back. I like the coldness, you know. A huge fan of that laid back celebration.
The kid was like overcome with emotions, and you could see how happy everybody around him was with the fact that he finally got his goal.
Yeah, people lost it. People absolutely lost it. Like, like Real Madrid socials will be, you know, flooding with Turkish delights. You know, especially after that. You know,
I mean, it wouldn't hurt if they send one our way as well. You know, some Turkish delight for us. After spending so much energy, you know, talking about Vinicius.
100%. Who wouldn't like some ice cream? I would love to have some ice cream. Fucking hell, man. The last time I had ice cream probably would be a year ago. It has been a while. Thank you for reminding me. But should look to get that covered, you know, after the pod. But Arda Güler, high hopes. You know, this is something that we all dreamt of. And watching unfold was special, you know, but I gotta, you know, tell Sedu not to, you know, spoil it so early, because he posted in the chat, and you know, that's how I knew it went in before it kind of happened on my stream. This is the way forward, right? The kid has confidence, give him minutes. You never know. We saw against City how, like, a couple of years ago, not last year, holy shit, but a couple of years ago when, you know, guys like Ceballos, guys like Camavinga, guys like Jesus Valeo, you know, when they came on and changed the game, Arda Güler probably would be tasked with such a monumental, you know, operation, you know, sometime in the Champions League. So this is, I think, the perfect audition. In my opinion, like, if there's a chance, he should be starting games, right? I know this is the crunch period. You can't really, you know. Are we going away to the El Sadar next week?
I think so.
Yeah. So away the El Sadar is not exactly fit for an Arda Güler introduction. But yeah, he should be getting 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you know, consistently, so that, you know, he gets to build some sort of confidence. And I think
something to keep in mind is, like, Arda Güler is now the youngest Turkish player to score in La Liga. And he's the sixth youngest Real Madrid player to score in La Liga. So, you know, a little bit of history.
Oh, who is the youngest Turkish player?
Arda Güler.
Oh, he's the youngest. Okay, yeah. Sixth youngest Real Madrid. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Don't ask me who's the youngest Real Madrid player, you know, because I don't really have an answer for that. Probably Raul or somebody.
Raul scored at 17, yeah. Right?
So maybe him.
Yeah, maybe him. Right. Yabara Blancota was mentioning we need Carlo threatening to quit for Fede to bang them goals in again. Not good enough from such a lethal shooter. The more I look at it, he's not lethal. He has immense power. I think
Fede Valverde goal is going to come this season. I mean, he's playing in the career, so it's not happening. But expect one to happen this season.
But he people put him in the... Okay, Lampard is such a... It's, like, I'm looking for something in the middle. Who can it be? Yeah, someone who is... exemplary at long shots. He's not that guy. Like, he can pop them off, once in a while. But he's not gonna get 3 in 10 shots go in. No, he's not that guy. No chance. So yeah, don't expect too much from Pete. Even if he is playing, you know, in a much advanced role, like he's not a clinical outside the box goal scorer, you know. Marcus Veringham was mentioning Arda Güler playing will bring problems to Luka Modric. That's the reason why Carlo will not play him for this season. You have a point, but Arda can be played up front, man. You know, he can be deployed in a front two or behind the front two compared to a Modric who can be, you know, the deep lying sub. But yeah, you do have a point. You know, the minutes are kind of being shared in a sense. But I guess that's pretty much it, people. I think we have covered pretty much everything. Lodin really didn't have much to do.
Just gone more word for Rudiger, man. Rudiger was influential in both of the first two of the court, so.
My bad.
Definitely need to give him credit.
100%. Rudiger has been the difference in our set pieces this year, you know, especially, you know, last year we were crying out for you know, goals from corners, and this year, you know, the cries have fallen on the ears of Rudiger, and man is stepping up, and he enjoys every single tussle while waiting for a corner. It's just super super happy to see, and he is someone who just transmits positive energy whenever I, you know, see him, especially among his teammates. Defensively, we didn't say much about Rudiger. Has been 8 out of 10, apart from maybe a couple of games, you know, throughout the season. He has been rock solid. I would say this, okay, this is a bit too early, but I would argue and tell this. This is might be a bit of a controversial statement, but more, bear with me. I think Rudiger's peak this year has been better than the peak of Militao. Would you disagree with that?
I mean, Rudiger is like incredibly experienced, and he's like, let's say he's at the peak of his career. So Militao is somebody who has potential to reach there. Maybe he hasn't yet reached there, but the thing is, like, he got ACL injury, and we don't know what kind of form he's going to come back. But I would agree that, you know, so far what Rudiger has done this season hasn't been anything that we've seen in recent years from, you know, Militao.
There you go. But yeah, anything to add regarding Rudiger? But
I definitely agree with what you said. You said 8 out of 10. I would say Rudiger for most games this season for me has been 9 out of 10. Maybe I have a little bit bias in my eyes. But overall, I don't really have much more to say. Rudiger, what an incredible player, what an incredible defender. And I have said this before, like, you know, in previous podcasts as well, Rudiger has transformed himself into the perfect Real Madrid defender. What does he do? He stops transitions on his own. He stops corners on his own. He stops aerial balls on his own. I mean, he does everything on his own. Like today, there was this one cross that was coming in from Celta Vigo. I think it was a free kick and free kick or corner. And Falamani totally forgot the fact that he had to head the ball. And I believe it was Manu Sanchez I don't exactly remember the name of the Celta player, but I think it was Manu Sanchez who kind of gets in a header in that situation. I believe it was at the end of the first half. So Rudiger has to deal with a situation like this where, you know, only Nacho is somewhat decently capable of heading out balls. And when Tchouaméni is playing, obviously Tchouaméni as well. But Rudiger has marshaled this defense as the best defense in La Liga. So you have to give him immense credit for that. You know, Rudiger, if we hadn't had Rudiger this season, I mean, Rumble definitely would have struggled.
100%. Would have fallen apart, I would argue. But yeah, Ashik was mentioning, just going back to Rodrigo, remember, Joselu has the same number of goals from the bench this season as Rodrigo, who is a starter. Yeah. Ashik was also mentioning, Rudiger is becoming the German Ramos for us. Oblong Jabara was mentioning Fede is definitely a threat from outside the box. Last year's proof of that. Nevertheless, he needs to score more goals. He's a threat. I didn't say he wasn't a threat. But yeah, people, you know, make him out to be someone exceptionally prolific from outside the box. He's not that guy. He might grow into that guy. You know, he's only 25. There's still, you know, plenty of time to polish his shooting boots. But yeah, I guess that's pretty much it, people. Big up the chat. Big up every single one of you.
Before we go into the closing thing, there's just one thing. I kind of looked it up online, and the youngest Real Madrid player to score in La Liga is a guy called Alberto Rivera. And he scored... Alberto Rivera. He scored in...
In the 70s?
1995. June 10th, 1995. And guess which team he scored against?
Barcelona?
Celta Vigo?
Yeah. Okay.
And the second youngest player to score for Real Madrid is like Raul.
Raul,
Yeah, 1 month difference. No, 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 not even 1 month. It's like kind of like 14 or 15 days.
Against Atletico?
Yeah, Raul against Atleti.
What a beauty. Mm. Yeah. Right. Raul just reminds me of Indian kids. You know, when I watch that goal back, you know, like I wasn't there to watch it, but in the replay, he just looks like the next door Indian kid, you know, celebrating. Yeah, super, super lanky, super lean. But yeah, baby faces as well. But yeah, big up every single one of you in the chat. Big up people who sends us feedback, you know, after post-match, especially, you know, negative and positive. You know, it's all welcome. It really means a lot to us that, you know, people are really helping us to, you know, fine-tune our pods, you know, whether it be any technical difficulties. If you don't agree to, you know, some of the shit we say, I'm pretty sure people are going to be a bit riled up by what I said. You know, I even kind of swear that Vinny at one point, which was, you know, completely out of emotion. I love both, you know, the Brazilian boys, you know, they mean a lot to me. It's just, yeah, like a proud uncle, you know, or a dad. I'm not too old to be a dad yet, but fucking hell, man, it's hitting there, you know, slowly. But I would just like them to be, you know, better version of themselves, you know. That's the only thing I ask of them. But yeah, do keep sending them in, people, and watch out for the big three show on Monday, right? Our first EP was released on our audio platforms on, I think, Thursday. So yeah, it was very well received. It had over, I think, 100 plays for a debut episode. I think it's pretty fair. I've heard a lot of good things come, you know, out of it as well. So yeah, people, if you do like what we're doing, go check out the big three socials. It'll be in the description of the audio episode as well. Go check them out and yeah, show some love. There'll be a lot of collaborations between, you know, us and Half Faith, hopefully, you know, come the Clasico as well. Like, even in the Champions League, it's going to be a little tricky how we kind of manage the schedule, but I'm pretty sure, you know, we are going to, you know, cook something for you guys. But big up our partners, Manscaped again. LBI20 to get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com. Go check them out. Pioneers of below the waist growing, but they have a huge catalog of products ranging from, you know, loungewear, beard waxes, deodorants, you name it. Big up our OG partners, Real Madrid Committee on Instagram as well. Go check them out. The link is in the description below. They run a brilliant fan page. Go give them a follow if you like what you see. Big up Sid and our team from Madrid for their hard yards. They're, I think, still talking to fans outside the Bernabeu. So if you like, you know, some of the questions we pose to fans, unlike some of the others who try to do it, we would appreciate that you show some love to, you know, what we have been doing for the past, you know, 5 or 6 months. Especially smash the likes, you know, it does a long way. I would like to reiterate that. But yeah, man, big up all of you guys, man. Javada, Ashik, Prince Arthur, who was here before, Marcus Benningham, Ricardo, Javada was mentioning, it's all love. Big up to y'all and great work. Much love. Super humbling, Javada. So yeah, until next time, people. Hola Madrid.
Hola Madrid.